You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Last week I began a brief series with you for this month of December, and I'm speaking to you about getting ready for 2026. I want 2026 to be the greatest year in my life. It may be the year I see our Lord Jesus, my brother-in-law. His funeral is on Friday, my wife's younger brother. He pastored in Beloit, Wisconsin for 30 years and been on the staff and the ministry for 50. He's 70 years of age and he passed away suddenly with cancer, real sudden. And I don't know, there'll be many in this room. Maybe we'll go the other side if the Lord lets us tarry. Maybe the rapture happen, amen? I don't know what's going to happen, but if the Lord lets me live till December 31st, 2026, I'm putting these ingredients in my life. I want them in your life. Last week we saw the Bible. What are you going to do with the Bible? It takes 6 minutes a day, maybe seven if you're a slow reader, three chapters, to read through the Bible in a year. About 7 minutes a day. Can't you find 7 minutes?
Amen.
I just think we can. I'm talking about you teenagers. Can't you read the New Testament or read the Old or read both? Can't you give God 7 minutes a day?
Yeah.
I think it's very easy. It's not difficult at all. But every person ought to get a Bible reading certificate next year that you read the Bible from cover to cover. Tonight, I'm going to cover another subject that I'm going to encourage you to add 5 minutes a day. Brother Galen Bridgman, you have a phone right there. Would you pull it up, and when you get it out, will you stand right there? And let's all, you can all use your phones if you want, just double check them. 5 minutes a day. Either you're not praying and you want to give 5 minutes, or you're praying and you want to give another five. What's 5 times 7? 7 days in a week. What's 5 times 7?
35.
35 extra. That's quite a bit of time. Now, I think we could do a lot better than that. Brother Galen, I know there's 4.3 weeks in a month. So when you divide 35 times 4.3, what do you get?
8.13.
How much? 8.13, 8 hours and 30 minutes. Is that right?
Did you mean multiply?
I meant multiply. You know, some of these people, I mean, you ought to know what I'm thinking, Brother Galen. Are you done messing around? All right. 35 times 4.3.
150
minutes, which is what? We're not very smart with 2.5 hours. Wait a minute, Brother Galen. So 2.5 hours times what last one? Times, not divided. Don't divide it. Times 12 months in a year. Okay. Well, how many minutes? How many?
30 hours.
You know, if we'd all just thank you, Brother Bridgman. I tell you what, I'm going to buy you one of those popcorns tonight, just as your present. You did a good job. You know, if we would all give 5 minutes a day,
amen.
Five. I mean, that's not very, 5 minutes a day. That's 30 hours in a year, 30 hours. That's almost working a full-time job. That's 30 hours. Look what the Bible says, and we're going to look in the Bible. I want you to jot some notes down tonight. Chapter 7, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Ask, and it shall be given you.
Seek, and it shall
knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children,
how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask?
The prayer is a Greek word. It's aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. Aiteo means to, and I want you to get it down. I want you to write it down, or I want you to think about it, because I'm going to quiz you on it tonight. Aiteo means to beg, to crave, or to desire. When I'm supposed to ask God, it means to, I'm to what? Beg, crave, or? Try it one more time. It means to do what?
Beg.
That's what prayer is. Prayer is not adoration. John Rice made that very clear in his book. Prayer is not praising God, though we ought to praise God. That's not prayer. That's just praising God for his goodness. When I consider the works of the hand, the sun, the moon, the stars, what is man that are prayer is not confession. Though Daniel said, I've made my prayer and my confession to God. Prayer is not confession, but I should confess. This past Monday, I was scheduled to be with the men. We were going to have a day of prayer, the pastors. And they went out and they had prayer. And they prayed about things. And I gave them an outline. I said, I think in your prayer life, when you start alone, all by yourself for this day, I think you ought to spend some time alone with your notebook and with your Bible and with the hymn book. And you ought to spend some time confessing your sin. If it's an unknown sin, I might be wrong, but I never confess it out loud. I don't want the devil to know where I'm weak. That's like a boxer. And he said, don't hit me here. I just had surgery on this side. What's a good boxer going to do? He's going to hit you on that side. I don't confess. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't confess known, unknown sin out loud. I don't want the devil to get an advantage of my Christian walk. But confession needs to be made to God. And then I said, God always gets buttered up in the prayers of the great men of God and the prophets. They always buttered God up. How majestic he is, how wonderful, all these great things how God is. And so butter him up for a while. He knows what you're up to. Tell him how wonderful he is. When I consider the sun, the moon, the stars, all your handiwork. I was planning on going out. I went to the hospital instead, but I was planning on going out to the salt flats and just praying out there. And it's just such a beautiful, quiet peace, like a shout, nobody hears you. But you know, I say, fellas, you ought to spend some time in confession, and you ought to spend some time in buttering God up. And we did all these different things. And I said, come to God directly and ask him, and write it down. Lord, I'm praying for this. This is what I'm praying for. I'm praying for the bus ministry.
Amen!
That bus ministry, every day of my life in the hospital, people say, I rode that bus. We transport 1.6 million riders. Every day I pass the track, every day someone say, I rode that bus. I remember coming to your church. I remember you. It's just part of it. Tonight I'm talking about prayer. I'm coming to you on behalf of 5 minutes. And that's terrible to ask you for 5 minutes a day, but that's 30 hours a year. I want you to see with me, and I want you to mark some of this down by way of introduction. This is still an introduction. I won't be long. But go to Psalm 55. You remember we started our series on the 50 Chevys, and I started with 55 Chevy. This is the verse I ask you in 55 to memorize. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But if you look at verse 17, let's read 55, Psalm 55, verse number 17. Ready, begin. I believe this verse outlines God's day for every one of us. I don't believe the day begins in the morning. Never have. I believe your day begins at night. Nighttime should be when you're calming your house down. Night should be time when you spend time in prayer. And you go to bed at night, and then you can get up in the morning, and you got an evening done, and then you got morning, and then at noon, and then you're winding down again. We do it opposite. We stay up all hours of the night and we get up early in the morning. God's word says it's vain to stay up late and get up early. But that's what we're doing. And the Bible says, when should we pray? Evening, morning, and at noon. The Muslims pray 7 times a day. Dearborn, Michigan has been taken over by the Muslims. More Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan than Americans. Now, wait a minute. Dearborn has every city council member is Muslims. The mayor's Muslim. They've taken over the Ford plant. And so they honk that horn 7 times a day, and Muslims fall on their knee and pray to Allah. They've destroyed that city. They've destroyed their state because it's a false religion. And the Bible says that you and I, we don't necessarily have to pray 7 times, but we ought to be praying evening, morning, and noon. Secondly, if you write it down, secondly, we ought to be praying for laborers. Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he has sent forth laborers into his harvest field. Brother Moore is not here tonight, but he just graduated from our college in December. He'll walk the line in May. And he's taken a church in a city of 5,000 people up in Montana. Well, you know, you ought to put them on your prayer list. There's a man going to a city with 5,000 people. They haven't had a pastor in 3 years. There's about 15 people left. They don't have Sunday night. They said, if you want to have it, we'll come. So he's going to have Sunday night. And he's going to have Sunday morning. He's going to have Wednesday night. He's just going to have church. And he's got a beautiful, beautiful log cabin building, a large auditorium and classrooms and all. It's beautiful, but it's empty. I think, Brother Rob, that's what you're doing, Brother Rob Simmons in Tracy. That great church that seats about 350, have about 10 people left. They're probably watching right now. And I thank God they'd call our college. And Rob goes up there with about 10 college students. And the pastor is still there in the church, but he's retired. He's 87. And they haven't had any gospel tracts for over 25 years. They're good people. They've just been hanging on. But you know what? They're so excited about the things of God. And God's opened up that, and 10 young people from college go. Then we opened up the up in East Palo Alto, and 10 college students go up there. We're opening churches all the way up from here to San Francisco Airport, every city, and all the way to the Oakland Airport. Why? Because we're to pray that God would send forth laborers. We need laborers for his work. But the third area, I'm all an introduction. We all ought to pray. We ought to be praying for laborers. We ought to be praying for our enemies. John 5:44, pray for them that despitefully use you. You have any enemies? Sure you would. And God says, I want you to pray for them. I don't want you to hate them. I want you to pray for your enemies. So when should we pray? Evening, morning, noon. Who should we pray for? Laborers, for enemies, for God's people. Turn with me to Colossians 1:9, please. I'm going to have you read it. Colossians 1:9. As you turn to the book of Colossians, who are we to pray for tonight? Well, we're praying for the laborers. We're praying for our enemies. And then the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says this. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. For this cause we also... Let's stop right there. God, and Paul said that to the church at Ephesus. He said it to the church at Philippi. He said, I pray for you. You're in my heart. You're always in my heart. I tell you what, people say, oh, Pastor, you're so strong. Oh, no, I'm so weak. But we waited till 1 o'clock in the morning. We were in the emergency from 1:30 till 1 o'clock in the morning before we could get a room. I tell you what, I wasn't nervous. I wasn't upset. My wife's watching right now. She knows it. I wasn't upset at all because I knew I had an army of prayer warriors around this world praying for us. I just knew it. God's people are so good to us. And Paul said, I'm praying for the Christians at Colossae. I'm praying for the Christians at Thessalonica. I'm praying for the Christians at Philippi. Pray, yeah, you're praying for, pray for Brother Moore. Pray for the, he makes number 70 since we begun the college, that men are pastoring churches across America. And then another, I don't know the number, around the country, around all the world, preaching the gospel. Pray for our missionaries, they're here, right here, the Goddards. I don't know where they're at. Right there they are. They're trying to get into their land of Uganda, but they can't get in. And they've been working and working and working to try. You pray for them that God, not Uganda. I know, I got it. It'll come to me in the next year or two. But you pray for them. Pray that God will use them. Pray that God will open up the channels they get them through. And then, by the way, we're praying for God's men. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. All the T books are together. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Titus, Timothy and Titus. 1 Thessalonians. You're to pray for God's man. Chapter 5, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25. Brethren, pray for us. He says that in 2 Thessalonians. He says that in Hebrews 13. We're to pray for Israel. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. I mean, we could go on and on. And then how to pray? Pray without ceasing. We saw when to pray, evening, morning, noon, and we saw who to pray for. But then how in the world do you pray? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray with holy hands. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 8. Pray for the sick. James 5, 16 says, pray for the sick. We're to pray for the miraculous kind. This kind cometh about by prayer and fasting. The disciples were bothered. They couldn't get answers to prayer. And they said, what's the problem? And they said, this kind can only come by prayer and fasting. Amen. I'm not the world's best faster. But you ought to be fasting. Amen. At least a meal a week or two meals a week or three meals. You can miss not your children necessarily miss breakfast, but you can miss a meal.
Amen.
It's not that hard to miss a meal.
Amen.
I don't know how you expect to raise good kids without fasting every week. Do a Jewish fast, sun up to sundown. Do a 24-hour fast, do a meal fast. I'm talking about your wife. I was talking to someone today. I can't remember who I was talking to. And they said, my wife is the world's best mother. She's raising good kids. And I'm working at it, but I'm not that good, but she's a good. And I said, you know what? You're exactly right. I wasn't a good father, but they had a good mama. And she developed me into being a good husband and father. I want you to know, child of God, you're going to have to pray with holy hands. You're going to have to pray for miraculous kind. You're to pray fervently. Let them ask of God and fervently pray. You're to pray constantly. Ephesians 6, verse 18. But I want you to see in closing our message tonight, and let's go in just a few moments. John chapter 17. Here is what we call, I call it the model prayer. It's not our Father which art in heaven. People always say that's the model prayer. Thy will be done, thy in earth as in heaven. That's a good prayer. But this is really the model that God gives us. I want you to write this down. John 17, verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8. I'll give you the outline quickly. John 17, 1 through 8. Jesus prayed first for himself. Look what he says in John 17. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Verse 4, all the personal pronouns, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self in the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name which thou gavest me. I, verse number 8, have given unto them. Jesus begins praying. In my prayer journal, I don't know how many, it's about, my prayer journal is about this tall, it's bigger than my Bible. It's about this wide, it's wider than my Bible. I don't know. I'm certain, real small print. All over, I'm certain there's 50 pages there or more. Some have 100 requests on a page. I think of But in the first five pages deal with me. I've taken my life and I've divided what is important in my life. The first thing that I have is I want to be a man of God.
Amen.
I don't want to be a good husband. I don't want to be a good father. I want to be a man of God. A man that walks with God. The second area, I'm praying for me. And I've got all these things I'm praying. The second thing is, not only a man of God, I want to be a good husband. House band, Latin word. I band the house together. I want to be a good father, a good grandfather, a good father-in-law. Have all those kids, and all of my kids, all 22, 23 of them now are all saved. Everybody's saved. London was the last one, and she sent me a picture about a year ago. Papa, I got saved tonight.
Amen.
All saved. I could die tonight knowing my whole family's going to heaven.
Amen.
That's a thrill. Brother Van Dyke, to know that all my family's saved, that's a thrill of a lifetime.
God.
And you know, I go back, like under a man of God, I've got it listed A through Z. A, and I've got about 10 attributes for the letter A for my life. Letter B, about 10. Letter C, letter D. I've got all attributes that I want in my life. I've got to be these things. By nature, I'm not those things. I've got to be a kind man, a loving man, a serving man, a faithful man, a dedicated man, all those. And I go through all that alphabet. And then I always pray for my life. There's five titles, Greek titles of the pastor in the New Testament. I want all five. I don't want to be a good preacher first. A lot of guys want, and that's okay. I want to be a good pastor, a shepherd. Then I want to be a good preacher. Then I want to be a didaskalos, a good teacher. And then I want to be an episkopos, an overseer of the assembly. And then I want to be, lastly, the presbyteros, president. I don't want to start with the president. Oh, that's important. No, I want to be a pastor. But I'm praying for me. The second thing, quickly, what's he pray for? He prays for, watch it, verse number 9. Verse number 9 through 19, I won't go through it. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Who's the them? He's writing about the saved people. And that's where I have the business leaders of our church. I have the single adults in our church that I'm praying for that God had given them a mate. I'm praying for the divorce in our church. I'm praying for the deacons in our church. I pray for the staff and their children and their mates and their families. I pray for them. I have so many people that I'm praying for that are great members. I have the widows list there. I have the widowers that I have listed I'm praying for. I have them all listed. I have the backslidden. They're saved, but they're backslidden away from God. And I pray for them. I have all these lists of pages that I'm praying for people. I pray for them. And then thirdly, if you'll see what he says here in chapter number 17, verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, who all the saved. They may be. I pray for these alone, but I pray for them which shall believe on me through the word. That's why I have all the presidents of the United States that are listed, all their wives, all their children. I have all the city council members and the police chief of police and the mayor, because they're not saved. And I'm praying for their salvation. And I've got so many things that I've got a list of people that I'm praying for that are unsaved. You know, F.B. Meyer was a great man of God, a great, great historian. F.B. Meyer pastored the same time Charles Spurgeon pastored in the late 1800s. And G. Campbell Morgan pastored at the same time. He said it was easy to pray for G. Campbell Morgan. He said in the same time, I was in London, Spurgeon was London, but he had so many people coming, I got all the overflow all the time. And F.B. Meyer said he was a great, if you can read anything by F.B. Meyer, he's just a great writer. And he said it was easy to pray for these men. But then G. Campbell Morgan, he was my father-in-law's favorite author of all times. He had every book that G. Campbell Morgan wrote, and he's just a great Bible student. G. Campbell Morgan came to town and he said, my old flesh got in the way. I tried to pray for him, but Spurgeon was doing so well and G. Campbell Morgan was doing well, and the Sunday morning services were packed and Sunday night services were packed, people everywhere. And I got a little jealous in my heart toward him. I just got a little bit. I felt like it wasn't right. My church voted to, let's make a reception for G. Campbell Morgan. He's back in London. He's preaching. And it wasn't necessary for me to preach on that Sunday evening, but I went to hear him preach that night. And he sat there, he said the touch of God was all over his life. And he said that night when he was preaching, I bowed my knee in and I said, Lord, I may not be the largest church in town. That may be Charles Spurgeon or it may be G. Campbell Morgan. But God, I love these men. And I'm asking you to bless their ministries. He said, I got over it in a heartbeat. Prayer did that. Who are you jealous of tonight? Who are you envious of tonight? Fanny Crosby wrote us 8,000 poems. You know, the doctor put the wrong solution in her eyes when she was just about 6 weeks old and she went blind. And Fanny Crosby was blinded in infancy. And in 1869, Doane, Doane said, I need a song and I need it right now. I just need it right now. I got to have you get it done just tonight. And she was so frustrated. Nothing was coming. And Fanny Crosby was the first woman ever to lie in state at the state in the Capitol in Washington, D.C. I don't believe there's been another lady there. I may be wrong. She was known to presidents and to kings and everyone. She was such an amazing lady. And Fanny Crosby wasn't getting that hymn that Brother Doane wanted her to get. And she said, God, the Spirit of God, Brother Emery, you just sang about it. The Spirit of God pricked her heart and said, you haven't asked me at all, Fanny. And she fell on her knees and said, Lord, I haven't prayed. I haven't even asked you, what do you want me to write about? And she spent some season in prayer. And here's what she wrote. Jesus, keep me near the cross. And that song's in our songbook. And she said prayer was that God changed her desire. I wonder tonight, are you praying? John Rice would sing, he sang, I came and heard him. I was living in Fremont. I drove over in 1966 to the fairgrounds in San Jose. And he was preaching. And he was preaching, another man was singing. And he said, just keep on praying. A singer over here said, till light breaks through. And John Rice, the Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. And then the duet, two-part harmony. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. I prayed for 31 years for this building. I prayed for 31 years for this property. I prayed for 31 years for a radio broadcast, 15 minutes a day. And today we were checking out and the nurse said, I'll be praying for you. I said, you're a Christian? She said, I am. She said, I attend Liberty Baptist over there, your son-in-law's church. She said, my husband listens to you every single morning on KNVBC, the radio. Bless her heart. And you know, God wants to answer your prayer. If ye then being evil, Brother Chad, you love your kids and you're evil. If they ask you a fish, do you give them a stone? No. All they have to do is ask, you'll give it to them. If it's not going to hurt them, you'll give it to them. And if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give to them that ask? What does ask mean? It means to crave, beg, our desire. Just keep praying. Father, I thank you for these people. I pray they give 5 minutes more a day, just five. Maybe that five would turn into 10, but let's at least start with 5 minutes more a day. May all of us do that. Our heads are bowed. How many would say, Pastor, don't raise your hand if you're not gonna, but January 1st, I'm gonna give 5 minutes more a day in prayer. Could you lift your hand? I'm gonna give 5 minutes. Thank you, thank you. You may put them down, hands everywhere. I don't believe you're making a vow. I know many of us are gonna break that vow, if that's a vow or whatever it was. But I just believe it's possible.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.